great to see so many people here this evening. This is Monday, March 21st, 2022, and this is the Town of Curry Beach regular town council meeting. In the call to order, may I please have the invocation?
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance, your wisdom, and support as we begin this important meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture our bonds of community. And we continue to remind us that all we do here today and all that we accomplish is the pursuit of truth for the greater glory of you and your service to humanity. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, gentlemen, would you please look at the consent agenda items and let me know if there are any changes?
Make a motion to accept as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda accepted as published. Adoption of the regular agenda. Any changes recommended by the council?
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion we adopt the agenda as presented.
Excuse me. I need the two applicants removed. I left posted up there.
That's true. There are two applicants who have kind of withdrawn, but in case they show up, I thought we would just let them go when we get there. But thank you, Beth. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so the regular agenda is accepted. We move now to public comment. Now, we have quite a few people signed up for public comment. I want to remind you all that you have 3 minutes to speak. In that 3 minutes, you have an opportunity to tell us what's on your mind. We will not be discussing that input this evening. What this does is it does tell us what's important to you and things that we need to think about as we go to budget preparation and as we go forward in the plans for the town. So, therefore, the first person is Amy Purvis. Over here, please. And Amy, I need you to tell us your name and your address when you get there.
Not you, Ms. Purvis, someone on the phone.
Somebody on the phone.
Am I unmuted?
You're unmuted, go ahead. Will the people who are on the phone please go to mute? Can you mute them, Mandy?
She's working on it. Yep.
Thank you.
You are no longer muted.
Okay, we're good now.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Town Council members. Again, my name is Amy Purvis, and I am here tonight to speak on behalf of the Curry Beach Pickleball Players, a group of 85-plus pickleball enthusiasts who play on a daily basis at Joe Eats Park. The Curry Beach Pickleball Group is a welcoming group comprised of players of all skill levels. Our player base consists of Curry Beach and surrounding area residents, vacation owners, and tourists. Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America. It is fun, social, and easy to learn. It is one of the only sports where the whole family, from kids to parents to grandparents, can play together and have a blast. In the past 4 years, we have witnessed this same growth and enthusiasm for pickleball at Joe Eats Park. Due to having to share court space with tennis and basketball players, our court space is limited. Although we have access to 5 courts due to the number of nets we have, we are guaranteed only access to 2 courts. The basketball courts where we play most of our games are not ideal for pickleball. The rocks surrounding the courts are trip and fall hazards, and the sand from the dog park and the bleacher area are slip hazards. The town of Pure Beach, through the Parks and Rec Department, is actively seeking ways to grow the sport of pickleball. We applaud their efforts and strongly support any plan that would grow the sport in our town. Unfortunately, pickleball growth at Joe Weeks Park would be hindered with our current limited court situation. Therefore, we stand before you tonight requesting the town of Pure Beach add 3 dedicated pickleball courts at Joe Weeks Park to allow the vision of the town and the enjoyment of all pickleball players to be recognized. We are aware of the license agreement with Matsu and the challenges involved to make changes or improvements at the park. Carolina Beach did some major improvements to their dog park and added 2 utility buildings at the Mike Chapel Park, a Matsu licensed park, in the past year. If Carolina Beach can go through the protocols and procedures to make improvements to their park, why can't we? Wrightsville Beach just approved the addition of 5 dedicated pickleball courts using a Parks and Recreation Trust Fund grant. If Wrightsville Beach can go through the application and filing process to secure grants, why can't we? We have identified the ideal location within the Joe Weeks Park campus for 3 dedicated pickleball courts that would not disturb the current amenities. The north end of the cordoned off area containing the well house. We know there are setback restrictions concerning the well house, but in a visual observation of several other well houses around Pure Beach, it appears that our courts would be outside the current observed setbacks to impervious surfaces. The absolute best place for new courts at Joe Weeks Park would be on the unused ballpark. It is our sincere hope that you will give our requests serious consideration and help our group and the town of Pure Beach to add a much needed amenity to our park and our town. Thank you on behalf of the Pure Beach Pickleball Group.
Next up would be 645 Settlers Court, would be Judy Larrick. Judy? Name and address, please, Judy, even though it's on here.
My name is Judy Larrick. I live at 645 Settlers Lane here in Pure Beach. Been here a long, long time. Craig, I have timed it, tried to get it to 3. I think I'm at 4 to 5, so bear with me, please. It's not long. Tonight you will hear a presentation by Alta for WMPO on the draft Pure Beach Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan. This plan includes proposed bike paths, so-called greenway, in Matsu Fire Break Land behind Settlers Lane to Town Hall, as well as an extension to Fort Fisher. Since only 1 council member remains today from 2004, when WMPO first presented the same bike path to Pure Beach Council, I want to remind you of the actions and concerns at that time. Approximately 50 to 75 Pure Beach residents showed up in opposition to this proposal behind our homes because of issues of security, safety, privacy, environment, wildlife, cost, lack of police presence, and potential fire hazard. The Council Police Department and Fire Department unanimously agreed and rejected the path. It was revisited again in 2010, 2014, 2016 with the same result. But it was approved and later built by Carolina Beach. However, before construction, even the town of Carolina Beach relocated the original path away from behind the homes in Carolina Sands due to the residents' objections and concerns. And today, the majority of residents along Settlers Lane in Carey Beach Village, the Kingston Beach Walk, are still opposed to this plan, and yes, we passionately expressed our concerns. We also are opposed to Settlers and other neighborhood streets becoming designated bike routes, funneling riders into a few streets rather than embracing and acknowledging all the neighborhood streets available to bikers in Carey Beach. It's easy for many people to be in favor when it does not directly impact their happiness, property, privacy, safety, well-being, or taxes. In 2004 and still today, the most logical solution is an off-road, and I emphasize off-road path, running along the right-of-way of Dow Road, connecting from the Carolina Beach State Park off-road path to Joey's Park. There were significant numbers of people at the public meetings in favor of this option as well. It provides the same desirable connections to destinations north and south along the island as stated in this draft. It is not, however, given consideration in this draft as it's less viable due to current MOTSU restrictions, quote unquote. Yet, the same MOTSU restrictions of use exist behind Settlers in Fort Fisher and in all MOTSU land. In my opinion, WMPO has never even seriously pursued or considered this option. The draft further proposes a bike path extension to Fort Fisher, again shown through MOTSU land from 7th Street through the Air Force Rec Area and to the State Historic Site. However, the Air Force Rec Area land is owned not by MOTSU, but by Seymour Johnson Air Force. And while the North Carolina State owns the historic site land. And again, in 2004, both the Air Force Rec Area and the historic site adamantly declared to WMPO and the council that their land could not, would not be accessed with a bike path. Nothing's changed. In addition, there is an FAA radar station at Davis Road, which is guarded, manned, guarded with no trespassing, even from the riverside. With this bike frequently revisited in the past 18 years, I believe it's time to put it to rest permanently. This area behind Settlers is maintained by MOTSU as a fire lane and should remain a fire lane, not a fenced-in bike path. However, how then could it possibly function in the event of a fire? Last year, for the first time ever, MOTSU, in response to the town's concern for fire risk, cleared not only the fire lane as usual, but most of the vegetation and trees on the east side behind our homes on Settlers, negatively also impacting flooding issues and wind break for the hurricanes. This draft recommends native landscaping and trees to provide privacy, but it's too late for that. In addition, the town is also aware of other issues with this land, including wetlands, flooding, remains of the old Dow plant, cost, etc. I don't know the legal responsibilities for a bike path plan if approved by KB Council, but it certainly seems to me inappropriate for the town to approve plans for land they do not own. Therefore, I believe the Island Greenway extension to Town Hall and the extension to Fort Fisher should both be eliminated from this plan entirely and put an end to these discussions.
Thank you, Judy. Judy, since you have prepared remarks, if you would leave us a copy, then we could go through it on our own to understand your points. Same thing with you, Amy. If you have a copy for us, we would like that as well. Okay, next would be Kathy Ave.
Sitting beside you.
How do you say that?
Kathy?
Kathy?
Kathy.
Oh.
Did you want to say anything?
No, I was just signing in being...
Okay, no problem.
I apologize.
Not, you don't have to apologize, Kathy. You can change your mind. You can change your mind. Brianna?
Kathy and I are in the same boat.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Abby Lorenzo?
That's Abby. Forget her.
Oh, okay. All right. Emma Stagner as well. Okay. All right. Hey, I like this. We're going through this pretty quickly. How about Megan? Okay. And you all agree with what was said, I suppose.
Yeah. They're with WMP.
All right. Candy?
Same thing.
Same thing? Okay, Candy. Well, you picked a good spokesman anyway. John Kern. Pickleball. All right. And Deanna.
And I.
All right. Okay, thank you. Debbie Jackson. Debbie Jackson.
She left.
She left? And Tom Jackson. Did he leave too? Okay. Larry. Larry White.
Favorite pickleball.
Pickleball, all right. And Sue White. Pickleball. All right. Well, that's everybody that signed up, and it is nice to see pickleball come in mass. Okay, moving on to presentations. First presentation will be the master bike plan.
Hello, Jason Reyes with Alpha Planning and Design. I'm from Durham, North Carolina, and been working on bicycle, pedestrian, and active transportation planning, park planning, open space, and greenway planning in North Carolina for about 17 years. We work in communities all across the state and in other states as well. And my job is really to come into the community, learn about what the opportunities and constraints might be for improving walking and biking and trails, to hear what the community has to say, sort of hold a mirror back up and say, this is what we heard, to put that in a plan, and then talk about next steps and possibilities from there. So that's what we did with this planning process, and I believe we have a PowerPoint.
We do, it's taking
okay.
A second.
Sure, yeah, no
it's
problem
at all.
Well, while we're getting that set up, I also wanted to thank Mayor Galinsky and Mayor Pro Tem Alan Oliver, and Recreation Coordinator Sean Greer, Director Nikki Healy, and our Bike Ped Coordinator, Mo Lindquist, or I should say Bike Ped Committee Chair. And most importantly, about 450 or so people from the community that participated in this planning process by showing up to meetings and by filling out public comment forms and writing in email and comments. So we did our best to try to get that reflected in the planning process itself, and I think you'll see that reflected in some of these next slides here. So what I'm just going to go over is just a little bit about the background of the planning process and some of the projects, which are an example. I know you guys have a big agenda tonight, so I won't spend too long on this. But a little bit of the background. The Wilmington MPO is a part of the funding behind this. We've got our planning work that they've done more recently with the Moving Forward 2045. And that did identify connections for walking and biking as a priority throughout the MPO, Queen and Curry Beach. More recently with the 2020 walk audit by the Curry Beach Pedestrian and Bicycle Committee, they were able to walk around town, identify constraints for people walking safely throughout town. And a lot of that went into some of the planning for this report as well. I just went over some of the acknowledgments. Again, a lot of people involved in the process from the very top at town hall all the way to just all of the residents and various planners being involved. Last fall we held, I guess it was late last year, we held a 3-day charrette. We had two public open houses. I think we had about 70 or 80 people the first night, and about 50 for the second second workshop. I'm seeing some familiar faces here. I think many of you were there. We had tables set out with maps and with pens and markers for people to mark up and their ideas, thoughts, concerns. We were able to also get input online through an online public input map. And after that process, we also had an online survey, which we just talked about a moment ago. But all that information went into the recommendations of this plan. And we were able to then break up those recommendations into about 10 different projects. So earlier, just now, a few minutes ago, we heard about one of those projects, the trail project from the Carolina Beach extension of a trail from Carolina Beach down to the town hall, as an example. So that's one project of about 10 that are on here. So it's not as if you would have to move forward with the entire plan or not. You could have comments about specific projects and be able to talk about it in that respect as well. So one of the projects is Hay Avenue crossing improvement. So that's right out here, just outside of town hall. And this is just really looking at Hay Avenue and figuring out are there ways to improve visibility for pedestrians going across. So sometimes that's just a crosswalk. Sometimes it's more high visibility, as you can see with some of these renderings here. But a big part of that would also be improving Fort Fisher and Kay. Right now, there's no crosswalks right there. You can see as an example right here. And there is funding for this already in place through the WMPO and others to make some improvements. So this is just a rendering of what it might look like to have more visibility, to have pedestrian refuge islands, and things like that to improve those connections across that street. So that's one example. Another one is coming down from the existing Island Greenway north of Alabama Avenue and making that connection on Spot, at the end of Spot to Settlers. That's already town property. It's already being used for that purpose. This would just be making it official by creating that section. The other piece of that you see there is that Island Greenway extension proposal. So that would go from where you see it's there along Spot and then continue down to Town Hall. And so this is what it looks like right now, right behind Town Hall where we are. There's a lot of discussion about Matsu property, and it is in fact Matsu property. And so that none of this will be able to happen without their approval. And we've stated that clearly in the plan. So if it stays in the plan and the town adopts it, you'd still have to have that caveat in there as it's stated that it would not be possible without their approval. A couple things have changed more recently with Matsu and the way they're approaching things. So one of the things that's changed is they went through their own land use process and community engagement process, and they are interested in working more with local communities about issues of access and things like that. So there is some possibility in that respect, but again, just having that caveat in there that would have to be approved by them if it went forward. We also had some other things that we wanted to be sure were reflected in the plan. One of those, some of these are just like spots about if the trail is built. Some of the things that it should embrace based on the public input that we heard. And so landscape screening was one of those that we talked about. Mile markers for safety and wayfinding. And then having a well-defined and adequately funded maintenance and management plan in place if it were to go forward. So those are all things that would go into a design process. If Matsu approved and the town found funding for this, there would be a whole other process for that stage of development as well to get input on that design. So some other examples, the same thing continuing through to the south, down towards Fort Fisher State Historic Site, which could then be picked up by a future trail down to the North Carolina Aquarium and Fort Fisher Ferry. This project was an example of how to improve the existing bike lanes. So each of the bike lanes right now, as you cross it, just sort of leaves it just kind of goes into a dashed line on the side. And intersections are one of the most dangerous points for cyclists, and so having a green marking across is a pretty standard way to do that. A lot of North Carolina communities are already using that as a standard bike lane marking. So not a big deal there, but just an improvement for visibility. There's a couple recommendations for routes that are signed. So that would be have an actual sign that just says that but it is for biking that we do have shared lane markings on the pavement. And the reasoning behind this is that, you know, Fort Fisher Boulevard being high volume roadway and higher speed, and there's no bike lanes from a certain section of it. You can see the lines here are the existing bike lanes that start and then stop there. So we've got one way to do that is to look at the end of Settlers Lane at the top where the spot lane improvement is. And that would be one way to route that without doing the trail, but then also still having cyclists be able to get through without using Fort Fisher Boulevard. So another thing that came up through public input and through comments was the existing sidewalk on Fort Fisher Boulevard, how the sidewalk sort of goes up and down. I'm sure you all have been on that sidewalk before. Maybe if you're pushing a stroller or you're carrying a wagon with some beach gear, that's not really conductive to safe walking, so you might end up walking in the street anyway. So the idea behind this project is to take a closer look at what could be done on the other side of the street, on the west side of Fort Fisher, where you can see here, you have a couple options. One would be to look at the utilities there, which would be very expensive. Another would be to look at the parking area here to see if there was an opportunity to market for walking and biking. But that's beyond the scope of the study, so that's why it's recommended as a feasibility study to see if that's even an option. So another thing we heard about was how if you just go a little bit north into Caroline Beach, you've got these flashing beacons for crosswalks, and we're looking at how we can bring that into a couple of the beach accesses here in Curry Beach, and we've identified several of the busiest ones where that could be a possibility. And so that's pretty straightforward. As far as the sea lane way, that's something we're looking to hear from the public more about during this review process to see what everybody wants to do with that. So that's where we have an existing crosswalk that was put in before the private development across the street. And so now that that's there, the question is whether or not you want to keep that there, or if you kept it, if you'd want to extend the sidewalk to meet it. So that's what that's all about there. So coming down here to 3rd and 5th Avenue, if you were to connect with bikes up top here at E, the right-of-way widens up just a little bit where you might be able to get a side path here, so that would be for walking and biking,
but more for all ages and abilities.
So the bike lane right now,
you might feel safe on that if you're a more experienced cyclist, but having a path on the side of the road that's wide enough for families to walk and bike on would be the idea there. And don't worry, we're getting near the end here.
So we've got the existing boardwalk that's out there right now, a little bit narrow for people that might want to be on the bike there, and to have space enough for people to continue walking safely. And so having that be a little bit wider would help solve that problem. One of the things that's happening right now is you do have the one-way road going parallel to it, but it's only one direction. And so if you have people biking in both directions on there as cars are coming through, it creates quite a bit of conflict. So using that extra space is the idea with this project. And here's what that looks like today. And you can see there's a bike rack in there for if you want to get a sense of the width up to the fence. And there's what that would look like in that respect. So this one is looking at the same thing, diverting cyclists off of Fort Fisher, this time on the 3rd. And the idea then, if you look here, you can see very simple signage, the pavement markings. And you can see some of that here as well. So not a big difference, but it could
make a difference in terms of visibility for cyclists and having them know where they're going.
So one of the questions on the comment form was some ranking of the projects that are in there. So some of the ones that you just saw, for example, the Island Greenway extension from Town Hall to Avenue K was the top project that was selected from the people who participated in the survey, so it's about 440 people. The Avenue K crossing improvements was the second one, Fort Fisher side path from E to Fort Fisher Avenue, or to Fort Fisher was the 3rd one. The Greenway extension from Town Hall to Fort Fisher
wasn't in the survey, but that's, you know, so it's hard to say where that would fall in the whole thing, but that's, you know, maybe considered part of the Ivy Greenway Extension project overall. So additional things in the plan, there's some program recommendations. 2023 is going to be the year of the trail in North Carolina, so there's a lot of new funding for trails that's coming online and a lot of support for them across the state. Creighton Beach would be part of that. There are implementation action steps, just things to consider for next steps in identifying which parks to go forward with and which steps to take in terms of assigning funding and design. And then a lot of information about project benefits, design guidelines, and other funding resources. So the next steps, with March 31st being the review period closing, I think that would be, you know, it'd be good for you all to get the word out, if you can, to some of your neighbors and friends and others about the plan. And you can go right to the town website under committees, and then under Bike Path Committee, and there's a link to it there. Then on April 18th, the council will consider a plan adoption, and on May 25th, the final plan will be presented to WMPO. So there's my email there, and Sean Gere's contact information. Happy to answer any questions, or I don't know if you guys want to proceed with your agenda.
A couple points I would like to make to the people sitting in the front of us. This is a plan that has 30 pages. We went through it very quickly here this evening. I would ask you to go to our website. Look at the detail on this. There's detail on sidewalks, crossings, bike paths, and a variety of things that are very important to us, which we can take action on relatively quickly. The Bike Path Committee has done a great job. There's more than one bike path, as was mentioned, identified here. The ultimate bike path, which everybody would like to have, I guess, basically behind the homes here on right here by Town Hall, would cost us significant dollars. Those dollars are identified in here, and it would cost significant time. So there may be things we want to do in the meantime if we all decide we want to work on that. So please take the time to go through this. There's great information. I want to thank the Bike Path Committee for working on this so diligently, and I want to thank our supplier for doing a lot of the planning. Now it's up to us, you. A lot of people have been put into this already. Take a look at it. There's important information here. How do we want to look when we become easier to deal with pedestrians and bicycle traffic? So any comments from the council?
Yeah, Sean, just to... I looked online, and if you can add that, let Mandy have it. Can you detail more on the survey, the individuals, so in-town residents or out-of-town, if you have that information in the survey, and just document the survey? Because I'm interested in that, right?
Sure, yeah. So we launched the survey after the workshops because we wanted to have more direct input on the projects rather than just general, you know, desire for improving walking and biking. And so that survey went out, I believe, in February, if I'm not mistaken. And we had it open for about a month. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to take a look to see what that 440 breakdown is for residents, but I imagine that there aren't a whole lot of people outside of Curry Beach that'd be interested in.
Well, that's why I'm interested. I think the data is important to be very open with, right?
Yeah.
So if there's data on the survey, it should be added to what's online so people can see that as well.
Yeah, and so you're talking about in addition to what's in the plan right now in the appendix?
Okay, yeah, the detail of the survey, right? And it, maybe it's in there and I just didn't catch it when I read through, but
yeah,
I don't think it is.
I would look in the appendix for public involvement in the very end of the plan, and there are charts that break down each one of those questions.
Okay, then I'll go back and review it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And happy to add more information if it's not what you were expecting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Please take the time to look at this. It's important to all of us. How about commissioners? Any other questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jason. Jason is, for y'all's knowledge, he's headed to Charleston
for our planning process for tomorrow, so he's headed there tonight, so he's going to cut out.
Safe travels.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jason. Okay, next up is Ms. Marie Parker. Thank you for coming and talking to us about wave transport.
Well, good afternoon, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, council members. Thank you for extending the invitation. My name is Megan Matheny, and I actually serve as the deputy director. Ms. Marie Parker does send her regrets. She had a conflicting commission meeting to attend to today. So. But thank you again for extending the invitation to the wave transit team. While we are getting that pulled up, today I'm here to provide an overview of our microtransit pilot project, which is an alternative transportation service offering currently available in Curry Beach. So historically, we have not had public transportation service in Curry Beach, but under this pilot project, we have been able to expand our service into Tri-County areas and Curry Beach.
Do you want to use the phone?
Right under my nose. Since 2020, commuting patterns have changed drastically. 2 years ago, at this time, there were approximately 188 million weekly transit users nationwide. Currently, it is less than half of that, at less than 82 million. So since 2020, we have decreased from 188 million transit users nationwide to 82 million. And wave is no exception. We have experienced or witnessed decreases in our fixed route and paratransit transportation services. Many agencies were required to reevaluate their service and undergo a transition. One of those agencies is Wave Transit. In the fall of 2020, our board of directors voted in favor of a new system network redesign that included microtransit to replace two underperforming fixed routes and address service inefficiencies. These routes that were referenced, the two fixed bus routes, are 207, which services northern New Hanover County, and Route 301, which services Pleasure Island, on a limited deviated schedule. Route 301, Pleasure Island, does not, and again, nor has Wave Transit historically provided services to Curry Beach. So microtransit. What is microtransit? Microtransit is a newer concept that delivers a solution that improves the rider experience by offering small-scale, on-demand transit services. It uses smaller 14-passenger vehicles, covers a larger geographic area, uses virtual stops as opposed to physical stops, and operates on a fluid schedule that is flexible to the end user. So think about a public transit ride share. Conceptually, microtransit is somewhere between, as mentioned, private transportation and public mass transit. It's very consistent with ride-sharing services many of us have used and are familiar with, but has some components of a transit system. When hailing a ride-share service like Uber or Lyft, someone will arrive in their personal vehicle to pick you up from your exact location. However, microtransit is not a door-to-door service. It is a curb-to-curb service built on a network of virtual stops. Microtransit also utilizes branded, company, or contractor-owned vehicles, such as transit vans or larger SUVs. And as referenced, in under our Ride Micro program, we operate new 14-passenger vans that are branded as such. But similar to ride-sharing service, you can use an app or to request a ride, pay for your transportation, and see the vehicle as it approaches for pickup. So when do you implement microtransit? Ask the questions. Do you have a pre-existing low-demand route? Does a new area of interest warrant service in the future? If you're evaluating existing service, compare costs per passenger or cost per mile to the other fixed route. If there are extreme outliers, including Pleasure Island, as I mentioned, Route 301, and Route 207, which serves northern New Hanover County, if you identify outliers such as those, then microtransit may be for you. It's a more cost-effective, more flexible way to use public transit. So for new areas, including Curry Beach, this is a perfect opportunity to gauge interest and determine demand before incurring any costs of a fixed route or shuttle service. Fixed route typically costs over about $90 to $100 per service hour, whereas the hourly cost for a full turnkey microtransit solution is just $70. Microtransit is a more efficient model as referenced. It only serves those that request it and only during miles that are necessary to serve the passenger, resulting in zero waste of service. For these reasons, the need to revise our fixed route 207 and 301 to Pleasure Island was identified. So a little background on our funding and how we were able to implement our Ride Micro pilot project. So NCDOT released a notification of funding opportunity for 100% of a coordinated transportation pilot project. This means that it's funded 100% by state dollars. There's no local match requirement for this first year under this pilot program. The authority partnered with Brunswick Transit System and Pender Adult Services on this one-year pilot project. The total budget for this one-year pilot is $700,000. Award of a second year of funding through NCDOT is pending. So $700,000, and we're able to serve four larger geographic zones, which will be, we'll go into a little bit more detail momentarily. So we launched the Wilmington Regional Microtransit, we branded it as Ride Micro, on October 11th. We were fully aware that the funding was limited to just 1 year, with a possibility of a second year, so we have advertised and maintained that it is a pilot project. Passengers initially had two choices to book the service, by calling a toll-free number or through our app, through our text service. There is a third option. You can access our website if you have the electronic form. So we have three ways in which you can access. If you're not tech savvy, you don't have access to a computer, just call us up, call our office, and we'll get you booked, your transportation booked. If you are tech savvy, just download our app and you can book, pay for your transportation, and find out the location of your vehicle. And you can look at your ride reservation history. You can book up to an hour in advance. However, if I know that I have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday standing pickleball appointment, I can just schedule that weeks or months in advance, that standing appointment, so I can set it and forget it. So the launch. So, as I mentioned, October 11th was our launch date. We immediately started building zones, utilizing demographic and census data, serving the areas we already knew were going to be our primary focus. In Zone 1, such as Leland and Belleville in Brunswick County, as well as Hampstead area in Pender County in Zone 2, and Zone 3, which launched December 1st, is services Monkey Junction area down to Pleasure Island, Carolina Beach, and to Curry Beach. As I mentioned, we launched the first two zones on October 11th, and most recently the third zone that services your community on December 1st. So our soft launch to Curry Beach, because we understand that this is not the peak season, but we wanted an opportunity to present it to the community, to the elected officials, identify opportunities to market as we lead into the peak season. So these are our current RAG micro zones. As I mentioned, 102 were launched October 11th in zone 3, which covers a large swath of land, was again released or launched on December 1st. And I can email a presentation, a copy of the slide deck. So zone 3, as you can see, as I mentioned, it covers a large swath of land. It contains just under 700 stops. Curry Beach contains 29 virtual stops and is 2.5% of the coverage area for zone 3. So an average fixed bus route is limited to 53 stops. Route 301 has that services Pleasure Island has 24 stops. So we're able to effectively increase the number of virtual stops, increasing convenience, decreasing your walk and wait time. So 700 stops for this zone 3. As I mentioned, Curry Beach contains 27 virtual stops and is 2.5% of the coverage area. One great thing about this flexible on-demand service is just that, it's flexibility. If we know that some stops don't warrant or warrant revisit, realignment because of demand, then we have the flexibility to do so. And also, if we have the flexibility to realign hours, so if we find that, okay, it's less productive, service is less productive between these hours during weekdays, we can reallocate those to later service or Saturday or Sunday service. The hours of operation are currently Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. with a possible expansion in weekday hours and introduction of service on Saturdays pending demand. So one really neat feature is our interactive map. This is a staff map just for the presentation, but this is located on our website. So if you visit our website, you can zoom into any particular zone, any particular stop to find out where your stop is located, what's the closest stop, closest walking distance. So it's very, very interactive, very user-friendly. And then this just gives you just a snapshot of the stops that are located in Carolina Beach and Curry Beach. And when we conduct our public comment process, and every time we do a short range plan, and one thing a common thing we hear is, well, we need service down in Curry Beach. So this was an opportunity to pilot the demand for a more cost effective service solution. Okay. The tech platform. So the app was launched on January 17th with enhancements to the tech suite implemented earlier this month. The new app suggests the most efficient routes, enables you to book and pay for your transportation services, and directs you to the nearby location to meet your vehicle, provides you with real-time tracking, and enables future ride bookings, again, up to a couple weeks in advance. Our fourth and final phase will be implemented over the next 2 months. 2 months, which includes launching the fourth and final zone in northern Hanover County. So we do have 3 of the 4 transportation zones launched, with the fourth zone slated for activation in April. So we decided an economically attractive offering. So I don't know if anybody has ever utilized a Lyft or Uber or Lyft services, from here to, let's just say, downtown Wilmington. So the average cost may be roughly around $25. However, the average cost, we kept the cost consistent with our fixed route transportation fares at $2 per ride. It is a complement to our fixed route system, so a transfer to travel between zones. So if you wanted to go from Curry Beach to downtown, would require integration into our fixed route. However, we know that this is a new service. People may not be as familiar with transportation services, WAVE services, and we have a mobility manager who joins us today, Ms. Brianna Petry, who does just that. She comes out, provides travel training on any mode, classroom style, or in the field training. We'll ride the bus. Ridership. So the trends, the program is realizing an average of 40 trips per week during peak times. In December, we started experiencing sharp declines, and that's a natural trend as we see the holidays approaching. And again, it's consistent with seasonal ridership. The ridership remained down early this calendar year, but we have, and that was due mostly in part to the pandemic and an increase or surge in COVID-19 cases. However, we have seen an uptick or an increase in ridership as of recent, over the past couple of weeks, and that's predominantly attributed to the decrease in COVID cases that we've realized. So data collection and review efforts are ongoing. If approved for funding from NCDOT for a second year, We will operate Ride Micro for, again, a second year. Beyond that, we will evaluate if there is a continued demand for service for zones 1 and 2 and 3 and determine what level of service will be offered to zones 3 and zones 4. If so, we will seek local funding partners to support the continuance of these services. Otherwise, we will retire the pilot project. However, we will retain the north and south zones under the current service network redesign to be implemented in the near future. So what that means, if we do not receive a year two of funding through NCDOT, we will have the north and south areas covered. We will maintain or take that service in-house. However, the zones 1 and 2 will sunset. We will evaluate demand for Town of Carolina Beach and Town of Curry Beach under Zone 3. That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this option? Phone call gets you a personal ride with up to 14 people.
Yeah. So you mentioned the standard rate is consistent. Are you guys planning on employing any surge pricing like the other services do?
We have not. We have not entertained a surge price. Well, we have researched different options, funding options, and a tiered approach. However, there is no interest on behalf of our leadership to implement a tiered rate approach or surge pricing.
And if we wanted to go from here to like downtown Wilmington, we'd have to like go to Monkey Junction or something, then pick up a regular way transit bus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that would drop you right in downtown. Mm-hmm. And that would be $4.
So would there be an option to get from the airport to Curry Beach with this process?
Yes, because the airport is served in Zone 4. So it goes, we have direct service down to our transfer station downtown, and then, but it would require integration or use of our fixed route service. But you could get from the airport down to Curry Beach, utilizing fixed route transportation and Ride Micro. And that cost would be $6.
I like that part.
So if the van is full,
yeah,
for the time that you want, then...
It will negotiate, right, or excuse me, negotiate windows, time windows. So if you do experience full capacity, it will say, well, we have availability at 8:15 or 8:30. Just give an example if you wanted to go at 8. However, demand being as it's such, we haven't realized any negotiation of time windows. So.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much for the presentation and for giving the option to Curie Beach.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. The next item is the Island Women presentation.
That's you. That's you.
Okay. I think I left it by myself.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. See you later.
Good evening, everyone. Mayor Blazinski, Mayor Pro Tem Oliver, and all town councilmen. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I am Eileen Klute, and this evening I am representing Island Women. Island Women is sponsoring the Bike Pedestrian Committee and their traffic garden, which will be held on April 9th in celebration of the Curie Beach 75th anniversary. You ask what a traffic garden is? Well, it's a miniature world of streets to teach children road safety, and the chair, Mo Lindquist, will give you more information on that later. But at this time, I'd like to present the check from Island Women to Mayor Blazinski, and with that.
Wait, this is the good part of the job. I'm here so people can see it. Right in to wow. Take checks.
That's right. Well, Mayor Blazinski, thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank the Island Women for this award. This is going to help our children learn street etiquette and street safety. If you have time, if you have grandchildren, get them out for this event. It'll be they'll have a lot of fun and they'll even leave safer. So, thank you, Island Women. You have done so many things for us. And we appreciate all the work that the Island Women do. So thank you for Island Women and Bike Ped. All right?
Thank you.
Who came up with the idea?
Moving on to committee business, Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Anything, Mo?
I have three things tonight. And as we can see, transportation trends are really going in a new direction. The first thing is the draft. And since Jason did such an awesome job of presenting it, I don't have anything else to say except if you have comments, get them in by March 31st, because what he said tonight was just the draft, and then we'll still consider, you know, everything that's coming in. The second thing on my list tonight is that last week, a few of us, along with Commissioner Oliver, met with NCDOT to get more clarity about the lighted crosswalk signs that were ready to order. And we were able to address some issues with them concerning additional crosswalks because some residents have requested farther south that we need some. And of course, the one near and dear to my heart would be one right here to Kay, south to north to south. And that was a very successful meeting. NCDOT is just really wonderful to work with. I mean, they are on our team. And, you know, Fort Fisher is their road and Kay is their road. So we got to do it their way. So the third thing and last thing that I want to mention is that our committee has been working fervently on the upcoming 75th anniversary event. And on April 9th, we're going to be sponsoring a traffic garden, which is a play-based learning event for children. As Eileen said, World of Miniature Streets and teaching them about road safety and predictable behavior, such as you see a crosswalk, don't just blow through it, but maybe be aware and stop. And, you know, if you see a pedestrian about ready to enter it, because that is the law in North Carolina, the pedestrian has the right of way in a crosswalk. And this is a way that we can actually start the process of creating bicycle-friendly drivers. As we start them when they're preschool, and then, you know, in fourth grade, there's a program we want to get into the PE curriculum. And then when they're in driver school, get their, before they get their license, they have to go through this. So this is just the beginning process. And kids can bring their bikes, they can bring their razors, they can bring any play vehicle, but they have to have a helmet because that is the law in North Carolina. A child under 16 has to wear a helmet. So the great thing is that this is our first time out the gate, and there's a lot of logistics to this. And fortunately, Cape Fear Cyclists, which Commissioner Ellen is a member of, along with the Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, they will be coordinating this event with us, since none of us have ever done it before, because it's kind of like a bike rodeo, but different. And all of the volunteers will have training on how to direct the children. And we are looking for volunteers. So if there's anybody here in the room that would like to volunteer for this event, you know, we'll be asking for that. So real quick, Diane Hoda from Shore Break Bikes, located in the Food Lion Plaza, will assist us with bike checks. Tony Selvani will provide us with extra bikes to borrow just in case a kid comes and doesn't have a bike. Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation will have helmet checks, proper fitting, and a helmet giveaway provided actually by NCDOT for those who do not have helmets. And like I said before, they will be required to wear a helmet. Island Women and Island Men financially donated to the event so we could purchase some bike lights and pedestrian lights for giveaways. And along with the financial donations, Island Women will provide volunteers, and Island Men will provide two bikes, one for a boy, one for a girl, and two helmets to raffle off at the end of the event. They're very generous. Snowy of the Carolinas will provide a treat for the kids when they complete the course, and they will have treats for sale for the rest of us. And we will need a waiver of liability.
You've already got it.
Perfect. They are on it here. And COIs from Tony. Got it? Perfect. And then tomorrow I'll know anything else that our town might be needed. Like, I don't know if the police might, you know, like to be present to interact with the kids or, you know, because it is all about bike safety. And so that's it. That's where we're at. We looked at how many kids we really have in Curie Beach. Do you have any idea?
No.
Three.
Hmm? Oh, okay. So.
We know how many voters.
Well, they will be voters. They will be voters one day. But at this point, the last census said under 5, 23, 5 to 9, 40. And 10 to 14, 102. So we have 165 kids that live in Curie Beach that are under 14 years old. And it's interesting, I ran into Leanne, who is a Curie Beach resident, and I was telling her about the traffic garden, and I said, how old are your kids? And she said, 8 and 11. I'm like, they're gonna be perfect for this. And she said, oh, they're buggy me. They wanna ride their bikes to school. That's Curie Beach Elementary School. So, you know, the kids are here and they're riding bikes.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions?
No. Thank you. Good job. A lot going on with that. Board of Adjustments. Well, we have two positions to fill for Board of Adjustments, and we have applicant Scott Selig. Are you here this evening? Would you please stand, Scott? And we have applicant John Nadeau, or Nadeau. Are you here this evening?
Yeah, he's not, but it is John Nadeau. Yeah.
Okay. No John Nadeau tonight? Okay. Do any of you have any questions for Scott to be on the Board of Adjustments? We've seen his application. We've seen his rationale for wanting to support us and help us. Are there any questions?
I don't have any additional.
No?
No, I have none.
So, Scott, on your application you put in as an alternate member, is that what you prefer?
I do at this time, yes.
Okay. I just looked between the two, and one said for the position, and the other was applicant, alternate. Okay.
Any questions?
So I make a motion we accept Scott Selig as the alternate member and John Nadeau as the Board of Adjustment member per their applications.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
Scott's been looking for a good place to get involved in the community. So
yeah. Scott. This is a good spot.
It's a good place to get started.
Yep. Community Center. Community Center has a very good event coming up for the 75th anniversary. Are you going to talk about that later, Nikki?
I wasn't planning on it, but I can.
Well, okay, we're going to have a drawings from the third grade of Carolina Beach Elementary. For students to tell us what they think will look like in 75 more years. And they're picking some of the winners. They will be there with their parents. We have a panel of some of the older folks, or let's put it this way, some of the wiser folks. Punky will be one of them. The woman, I forget her first name, Coffey, who has written a book about Curie Beach, will be part of that. I believe we're going to have Councilman David Hegler as part of that, and we'll see what yarns they can spin or what questions they can answer. I've promised to write down some good questions for people to ask these people. So that's and that is sponsored by the Community Center. Historical Preservation Commission, anything? Okay, Craig?
Yeah. Item on your agenda, again, Craig Galbraith, the chairperson of the HPC.
Yep.
The item on your agenda has to do, it was recommended by the town attorney that I approached the council on this. I'd say about two or three times a year I'm approached either by UNCW looking for internships with the town or by local high schools. And many of the local high schools have to do what are called community service, where they ask their students to do community service. So I was approached maybe about a month ago right now by a local high school, and a couple of students wanted to do community service here, and you know, I was trying to think of what we could do. And so one of the things the HPC is involved with right now is identifying historic properties. We have identified the historic properties within the Historic Preservation District, and that was actually done by a UNCW intern about a year and a half ago. We also have a list from the Fort Fisher Historic Group in terms of some of the historic properties, but what we don't have is simply the historic properties that are throughout Curie Beach. And by historic, what we mean is 1972 or earlier,
okay.
Which doesn't sound very historic, but that's 50 years right now.
Right.
And the idea here is that we would encourage them to get a plaque and be identified and so forth. So the thought that we had is that could we use some of the local high school students that need to have community service to be able to do that, which is essentially probably drive around or ride their bicycles around, look at buildings that look old, and then get onto the webpage and identify. You can identify via the deed information, which is how we did it before in the historic district, identify through the deed information, and then just get a list. So anyway, it was recommended by the town attorney that I approach you and see if that's something you would be willing to do. And obviously, we'd hate to have some sort of a release of liability type of thing, too. So that's why I'm here for this particular. I'm sure Mr. Eldridge might have a comment or two.
Right.
I don't.
Okay. Counselor, what risk would we have relative to any of them getting hurt?
Well, that would be the whole harmless indemnity agreement.
Okay.
Would eliminate the risk.
Okay. All right.
I don't know, do your interns, are they covered under work comp and stuff like that?
I don't know, I've called.
Yeah, we can check on what coverage there is under existing policies, but.
These would be high school students for community service. And by the way, the high school may have insurance on this too. I'm not sure.
But the bottom line is you'll have a document that where they hold you harmless, waive claims, and reimburse you, indemnify you if you're wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that concerns me, if we have a high school kid that helps at an event, say at Oceanfront Park, you know, they're in the park. I do think we need something if they're out on the street or driving around town that adds a little bit more liability for us, I think.
No, I would 100% agree. In fact, I would recommend, because we are approached a lot, mm-hmm. And more high schools are now requiring community service from the students, that if there's some sort of template that we can have in place that we can just kind of pull out rather than go through.
And I don't see the need in having to come back to us every single time. If we've got the template, then whatever department or whoever's using it, we just get them to sign that form, sure. And then they're good to go.
Sure. So there's a request. What is the will of council?
I make a motion that we allow the students to do the work once they sign the waiver.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you, Craig. Land Use Committee.
Land Use Committee, we are meeting, I believe, on Thursday. So we're in the process of going through some of the chapters.
Okay.
And identifying, we're in pretty good shape. I think we've identified that we'll probably have two more meetings. And then it goes to planning and zoning, and then through that type of process. And I believe Commissioner Oliver is quite aware of the process in terms
right.
of doing that, and actually was quite clear in terms of the process.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on the home stretch.
It's
good.
Wednesday. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it Wednesday?
It's Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
What time?
5:30.
5:30.
Marketing committee.
No update.
The only thing that I would mention on the marketing committee is we did add two very talented individuals to that committee today. One who has Penn State University in charge of marketing, and the other individual is, I believe, ran a business in marketing.
You had to throw in at Penn State.
What's
you,
that?
You threw in the Penn State.
Yeah, I threw in the Penn State for a couple of us. So, but they're not in the NCAA tournament, so. Parking committee. Parking starts on the 1st, so we're pretty close. So please get registered, get your vehicles registered, your license plates registered, and then you can have a wonderful summer. And the rest of us hope that our guests do as well. Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Galbraith.
Thank you. Just a little bit of background. Again, we talked about this last town council meeting. Prior to the last town council meeting, so it would have been two planning and zoning commissions ago, actually one, there was a presentation about a text amendment, and we looked at the text amendment. This had to do with fences on the side yard. So we recommended that particular text amendment not be approved. A couple things happened after that, that the town attorney felt that actually text amendments do not come for formal recommendations to planning and zoning. In addition, I had a chance to do some research, which I presented last time, in terms of what typically towns, similar towns, would have as side yard type of fences. During our last planning and zoning, that the issue came back before the planning and zoning, not for any official recommendation, because again, the attorney felt that wasn't our purview right now, But we did have a discussion, and I think the general consensus in terms of that discussion was that we felt that something like what Sunset Beach has, which was you index it or you link it to the building, for example, rather than the property line, and that we would be quite, it'd be acceptable to have for side yards a 6-foot fence, perhaps coming up to within either 5 or 10 feet of the front of the house. The question had to do with a corner lot as to whether you want to have that, because most cities, including the one, including Sunset Beach, does not allow a 6-foot fence on the side yard on a corner lot. We felt, however, under certain circumstances that it would be appropriate. For example, if the corner lot was adjacent, and the definition of adjacent means that it could be actually across the street from a non-residential property, then that would be okay. So that was our general discussion. That was passed on to John in terms of, and I think he's got a proposal that he can be presenting later. Yes. That would be the recommendation of the planning and zoning, is to allow 6-foot privacy fences up to either 5 or 10 feet from the front of the house, not including corner lots, unless the corner lot is across from a non-residential property, and then that would be allowed.
Okay.
And again, we didn't make any formal recommendations. That was just based upon our conversation, because again, according to the town attorney, is that that is not under the purview. This type of text amendment is not under the purview.
Right.
Of having to come to planning and zoning first.
Okay. Thank you very much, Greg. Shoreline access and beach protection.
Dennis Patacalli, Chairman, Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee. A couple of items. First one has to do with a request to purchase COs for some newly formed sand dunes that were installed down by Ocean Dunes condo complex. A little history here. These Shoreline Access has funded and provided COs to repair dunes and plant on dunes historically over the years. So it's not something that's unusual for the town to do and for us to do. But this is in the public areas. This obviously isn't in the private area there. The dunes that were constructed recently down by Ocean Dunes were generously donated by Mike Bledsoe and Bledsoe Construction. They pushed up the dunes, roughly 6-foot high dunes, probably about 1,500 feet or so along the ocean side, in front of sandbags that are placed along many of the buildings at Ocean Dunes. Again, the purpose of the COs is to protect those dunes, to stabilize them, as well as to catch sand and hopefully build those dunes up over a period of time. The downside is that that is an area that's particularly prone to erosion, and it's very, very difficult to maintain a dune structure in that area there. So it's a gamble, to say the least, but it's a gamble that I think is worthwhile on trying to stabilize those. If we can get a year or two where they can get stabilized and grow, I think we can afford some protection to that southern part of our beaches down there. Why is it a benefit to the town in general? Erosion that undercuts any of the homes in Curie Beach contributes to a lot of debris, a lot of damage, and continues to erode further and further down the coast. So it's really a question of whether or not the town wants to support that. It is not currently in the SLAP budget. Estimates range from $7,200 to $9,000. From somewhere between 12,000 and 15,000 COs at 60 cents per plant. And my understanding is that Mike Bledsoe and his company have volunteered to install those or plant those COs in the dunes. Now, this is in addition to whatever the Corps of Engineers is going to be building and planting just north of there, north of the Coquina Rock, as part of the nourishment program.
Right. They're, they would put COs in where they have installed the sand.
Correct.
Where they have not installed the sand. So, any discussion from council?
So when are you targeting to try to put them in? Now?
It's
this. So we want to do it this budget, right?
Yeah, March and April.
Yep.
Really want to get planted.
I'm supportive. So I mean, we need to ask Arlen where he wants it to come from, but I support that. We should try to hold the sand that they just put in there. And then when they do beach renourishment, hopefully we'll catch some more.
We have this little money in the slot budget still, and we have it.
There's not a lot, especially the next item with signs, I guess.
Right.
We'll reduce that even further. So yeah, we'll have to take a look. There's an overall committee budget, that's the way, but it's comprised of two committees, the other being the bike ped committee. If they're not potentially going to use all of their budget, there's some flexibility there.
Or it come from the general fund balance, right?
So, or else we will need to do a budget amendment and to provide for that.
But if we want to do it as soon as possible, we should do it tonight, right?
Yes.
We want to. That's what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we should get it done now if we're going to get it done.
So Arlen, pick somewhere, right?
Well,
sorry to put you on the spot, but there you go.
I think the offset can be some additional sales tax revenue that we've received.
We could use it to be determined by the
finance officer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I make a motion that we approve not to exceed $9,000 from the account designated by the finance officer after he looks at it for sea oats in the Ocean Dunes area south of the planned beach renourishment.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? John? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Question?
Am I allowed to ask a question?
You certainly are.
Okay. I'm just making notes on the president of HOA down in Ocean Dunes. What was the number you gave, not monetarily, the number of plants? Did you say 12?
Between 12 and 15,000.
12 and 15,000. Okay, thank you.
And this will be on, it's all recorded so you can listen to it too as well.
Sounds like a lot, but you know, 1,500 feet, it's really 10 plants per foot of dune. 6 foot dune, you got to do both sides. So
right. It's 10 buildings. It's from our 900 building all the way down to the 2,100 building.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
We need to stabilize that area, so this is a good shot at it.
So last follow-up question, sorry. So that's just going to be in the public walkway areas adjacent or all the dunes?
That's all 1,500 square feet.
All of them.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, all the dunes south of the beach renourishment area. The coral dunes.
Which is going to stop around that 800-900.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to be able to tell the homeowners.
Yes, sir. It's all good.
And in our meeting last week on the project, they said there would be some dune work, but they didn't have that information with them.
Yep.
So, but we know we will get that information later.
Yeah, and that's why it's up to 9,000.
Yeah,
could be less. So, all right. So I think you have another item.
Well, the other is approval of the request for new signs. We have the estimates from the company. This is to replace all the signs that have been lost over the winter, several storms that we had, plus generating some inventory, particularly stay off the dune signs, no dogs on the beach sign.
Right.
They tend to get lost. Those are the ones who get both
get lost.
Not having signs out.
Okay.
So we just need to replace those. And this is kind of an annual thing.
This was a follow-up from last month, too, wasn't it? Wasn't this a follow-up?
Follow-up from last month.
I'll make a motion that we approve the estimates for one and two for the beach signs.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion to second. Any questions, gentlemen? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. One other thing I just want to mention that along with Nikki and Sean and the rec department, we are planning on April 22nd to sponsor a beach suite, preferably made it Coastal Clean and big screen. So we're going to have a beach suite before the movie that screens on April 22nd. Just It's a great opportunity for people to get out there before you watch a movie, pick up some trash on the beach. We'll be out there providing bags and gloves, maybe some prizes for most unique pieces of trash.
Be a good start in your tan.
All right, but be there and get our beaches cleaned up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Panicali. Stormwater Committee.
So we continue to wait for the state to update our proposal for our permit renewal. So we're still operating under an extended permit. And then working with the attorney, we talked about this last month, but request permission from council for Jimmy and I to work with an engineer to get quotes for review and approval of stormwater permit transfers. So if you remember last month, we talked about the state saying that the transfer from the developer to the HOA at the Cove would be done by Curie Beach instead of the state, even though they issued the permit. Part of that process is an engineer has to review another engineer's work saying everything's proper. And I don't believe Jimmy or I are qualified to do that for the town. We want to actually use an expert in stormwater to do that review. So we have to get the quotes. And so just requesting council consensus for Jimmy and I to go out for quotes to look at that. And then we'll bring that back next month and request an exemption to the, what's it called, Mr. Attorney?
The Brooks Act.
The Brooks Act that requires us to do formal proposals because it'll be beneath the financial requirement for architects, engineers, and land surveyors.
So this engineer firm will just be on call for us anytime we have
correct
to do that.
Which we don't expect to do that very often. There's
but
only one,
yeah, but I really
one permit that's not transferred to the HOA is this one. But as we move through this, there may be other stuff that we may have to use an engineer for.
Exactly. Under your stormwater ordinance, which is a universal ordinance, and we're in the universal program, the town's responsible for issuing and also transferring. So the idea is to have an engineer on call for technical issues that expertise would be needed for. But we can't, given the history or the lack of history of real involvement with stormwater permits, the cost would definitely be minimal and below the $30,000 cap to exempt it from those procurement requirements. And we'll take care of the exemption next month.
Great.
Okay. You have my consensus to approach the quotes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
So Jimmy and I will work on that and we'll get back next month.
All right. Department head business administration.
For Little Pink Houses of Hope. They're going to be here for a week. There are going to be 12 families and 5 volunteers. And we helped sponsor them last year by offering parking for the day they were fishing at the pier and a couple of extra hours in the morning for their family portraits. And I got a request this year, and it sounds like in the request that they're asking for the week because they're going to spread those family portraits out over a few mornings on the beach. They're going to be both in Carolina Beach and Curie Beach, so they'll be kind of be back and forth, and they will do a day of fishing with Island Men on the pier. So they are asking for... what I'm gathering is a weekly parking pass for 17 people or 17 vehicles.
And so you do that, just give them a code so they log on, do the standard process if we approve that? Is
well,
that how you do it?
This year would be a little bit different if we're going to do the weekly pass. We'll give them the code for the weekly pass.
Right,
request
exactly
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What did we do last year?
Last year we did the day of fishing and the extra hours for... the portraits, the family portrait sessions.
So we did, we would do 17 for the day of fishing, and would we give them the mornings for the rest of the
no,
week?
No, it would be the week, the pass for the week.
Well, that's what they're asking, right? But he's asking what we did last year.
But last year we did the day of fishing and then a few hours that morning extra. Or that afternoon after fishing. However, they wanted, I can't remember exactly if it was morning or afternoon, but we did, it was basically all in one day last year.
And so, they don't plan on being here every day of all 17 cars every day.
No, it's just for, mainly for the fishing time, but then they're trying to spread those portrait hours out over a few days instead of trying to cram it all into one.
They do realize that that does not guarantee them a space. Mm-hmm. The spaces could be full.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, we don't set aside spaces.
No. Just give them a permit code.
If they find a space, they would be parking for free, depending on the... So what is the rule of council on this? Any?
And it is April the 24th through the 30th. It's not, you know, like June or July, or it is earlier in the season.
I support it. Worked for me.
Yeah.
We're not setting them aside. They have to compete like everyone else.
Yeah. Alan?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, make a motion. We give the town clerk permission to support this request.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Then I received another request today from Curie Beach Baptist Church in regards to parking. And I didn't want to hold it until the next council meeting because it's for a blood drive, which they're going to have on the 18th of April, so it would not line up correctly for us to approve it that late. But they're doing blood drives opposite of when the Curie Beach Community Center has their blood drives. So they're doing one in April, one in June, and one in August. So they would like to set aside 15 to 20 spaces right there at the church.
On 6th Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon.
What day of the week?
That's a Monday, the 18th is. I don't know about the other two dates.
April 18th. I don't know yet for June and August. And then the next one's October, so that wouldn't matter. We'd be done with parking at that point. But they want to preserve 15 to 20 spaces. They'll put the signs up saying, you know, it's for the no parking, blood drop parking only, or whatever. They would provide the signage and put this up.
I mean, typically during the week, there's no pressure up there.
Right. There's no pressure on 6th Street for parking, so.
I'll make a motion that we approve that request for the church.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is our phone systems for meetings. We are currently still offering the call-in remote participation for council meetings and we're basically committing all the meetings. But what I'm finding is that I'm having a struggle when we do public information sessions or legislative hearings because there's chatter in this room and I cannot get sometimes the presenters to stay with the microphone or they wander off and they're holding it behind their back and then I'm constantly getting texts and emails through the meetings. I can't hear. And I just think for a public information session, there's a lot of chatter amongst the audience that people are trying to hear because people are standing up even, and they're just not all coming to the podium. So what I'm proposing to council is that we can continue to do the phone systems for committee and regular meetings and other board meetings, but for public information sessions and legislative hearings that we advertise that it will not be a remote participation meeting and if someone requires a special arrangement, you know, to be fair to ADA rules or whatever we need to do, then we can do that for that. But that we just can't guarantee great participation on that.
Counselor, we have any issues with that?
I don't have any. No, sir.
Okay.
I mean, personally, I'd like to see us kind of get away from that because we're not getting maybe one or two people on our committee meetings, and those numbers are going down. We did it for the pandemic. You know, things are on the downhill side now. I'd just soon see us make our public go back to our old way of doing business myself. But that'd be that's just one person.
I support what Alan says, going back to pre-pandemic.
So that's not what you recommended.
That's not what I asked.
That's not what she's not asking for. I know
yeah, I'm just saying, I just want to make sure I'm keeping up with where we are, right? So that's not what she recommended, so we're changing it, which is fine with me, I guess. But I just want to understand where we end up, right?
I mean, I know we had some pushback, and we talked about it before. And that was more of ADA, but we spent a lot of money making this building ADA accessible. So our building is very accessible for people. They can still listen to the recordings after the meetings are over with. And to be honest with you, I think when public comments are made, I'd much rather have the person come and speak in front of us than do it over the phone. I think it's hard to hear. A lot of times we don't get the, we get talk over each other. So I, you know, if it's up to me, I mean, I'll be glad to make the motion, but I think that I'm ready for us to move on. And
well, can we leave the committees with the option? Because that's really helped me with my travel with the stormwater committee.
Well, remote participation by a board member is authorized by statute during the state declaration of emergency, which I think we're still under.
We are still under. That's right. The governor kept it going. That's right.
One point I need clarity on, Councilman Oliver. We discussed once upon a time, I don't remember the exact wording, you said it just a minute ago, of accommodating.
If they request a special accommodation.
Reasonable accommodation. I didn't listen that carefully. The motion you're contemplating would still allow for that, because I think that's important.
I would be willing to, you know, maybe we need to sit down, talk about this for, you know, before next month, maybe not make a decision tonight, but maybe something that if we had in a circumstance that we would give the person the right to call in, but public comment, come up with some type of a policy of how to handle our meetings with call-ins and stuff. And we could do a committee part of it too, because in our bike ped committee, we have people traveling all the time, but they're able to call in. We've got some people at work that they can't always get off work, but they call in and they listen to the meetings, and we've always allowed them to do that. And Zooms or Teams is a better way of doing that. So could we put this off for a month? And
let's put it off till next month, because I personally like communication.
Sure. But I'm only asking for the
I would be okay, but I mean, we can talk openly about it.
Well, again, sorry to interrupt, but the proposal by administration is simply to limit remote participation by the public for legislative hearings and informational sessions.
Which is what she's asking for.
I want to not have a phone system during those two meetings.
I don't mind people hearing so that they can get it. They want to communicate, they can send in a note later.
And the statutes allow for citizen comments, but that's the narrow request that's in front of you right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think council's not ready, Mandy. Can you document what you're actually asking for? And then, because we've batted three or four different things around.
Yeah,
and then,
I don't want to touch committees right
okay,
now.
Okay, perfect.
I don't want to touch regular council meetings.
Right.
I'm only asking for public information sessions and like a legislative hearing where people are commenting. I feel like if you need to participate and you want to ask questions, our doors are open and you can come in. Because while we're in there, my attention is not on the meeting. My attention is responding to everyone texting me and emailing saying, we can't hear. And I can't make the information session on the beach nourishment is a prime example. They couldn't hear. I gave the person the mic and they're over here and they've got the mic down by their side or, you know, and so it's like I can't make anyone use the microphone in these sessions and they're trying to call in for the information.
Right.
We'll still record it. We'll still put it out there, but I'm asking for just those two types of meetings where there is a lot of public interaction coming from the audience that we only offer it as a special accommodation. That has to be requested.
So can we write it out and we'll send it and we'll be prepared to vote on it next session?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we could bring it back to the budget meeting, I think, is what Jim's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I can bring it to the budget meeting.
Okay. Anything else, Mandy?
No, that's it.
Okay.
And y'all did approve my parking, okay. Confused.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Building inspections?
Good evening, Governor. First thing I wanted to do is update you guys on my future nourishment. We had the public information meeting on Monday. Since that time, I found out that we are going to fill the gap that was discussed in that information session. So from Jay to Davis, we'll be getting sand, roughly around another 150,000 cubic yards. Projected start date for the Curie Beach section, which actually starts in Tennessee, is still March 27th, and they're still planning on being completed by April 30th. They were at Davis Beach Road this afternoon placing mats to protect our headers ramp that's in not very good shape right now anyway. They are getting ready, and it's getting ready to start happening. Over Tuesday, there's a meeting in Carolina Beach right now, so I'll be attending that tomorrow. If anybody has any questions, please let me know, and I'll ask them.
So just to be clear, sand from Atlantic Towers through
Camp Wyatt. Building 1800 Ocean Dunes is the
very excellent. Place. Okay. They left. Sorry.
They had a breakdown too, so they've been down for a couple of days. You don't see the big bar, the big grave sitting out there, you know they had issues. So.
That's correct.
Okay.
And on to the big thing, the fence text amendment. You guys have been hearing about this for a couple of months. I believe you got the original text amendment application that planning and zoning subsequently denied or recommended denying to you guys. And as Chairman Gilbreth said, there was a lot of discussion at the last planning and zoning meeting about what to change, how to change it, and what to do. The original applicant for the text amendment sent in an amendment to that, and you should see that attached there. This was discussed at length and seemed like it was favorably looked upon by planning and zoning. So the new amended fence text amendment is up there. Okay, so you guys can see that there. The change is highlighted in yellow, and it says that side yard fences may be raised to 6 feet in height when unusual property circumstances exist, such as non-residential uses or public parking is adjacent to the specific property or lot line in question. This works. It certainly helps the applicant out. It helps some other properties in downtown too. And you know, I rode around and tried to get a handle on some of it. You know, it's better than what we had for these properties that are adjoining non-residential uses and want some privacy. I'll tell you, it's several times a week we have people come in and want fences. They can't understand why they can't have a 6-foot fence any further in their backyard than the back of the building. And so it's still a toss up for me. I feel like the original text amendment application was more evenly applied across our jurisdiction and that everybody was treated the same regardless of house placement or where your house was. Either way, I'm glad to see some changes because we get hit on this all the time and it wasn't the easiest to really interpret as far as an ordinance, and once again, the way our ordinance reads right now is entirely dictated by where your house sits on your lot with how much fencing you can have.
Right. Gentlemen, any thoughts on this? I think such as a term, allows some flexibility. It also allows some challenge. So,
I foresee this expanding, or other text amendments application will be coming in to expand other things sooner or later. But
Okay.
So how far up the side yard are they going to be allowed to come?
Well, the way this reads, he could come up his entire property line.
To the front of the property, right? Side, the way you address side yard, right? At least in the definitions, that's why I looked at the definitions. So we'd be able to go all the way to the setback in the front yard, or it would just be to the side of the front part of the property?
I don't think it could go to the side or to the front yard setback, so 20 feet from the front of the lot.
Okay.
So some of these lots could have the home completely behind the fence.
What keeps it from stopping at the setback?
It changes from a side setback to a front setback.
Right.
But it can, this language can run it up to the house side of the front setback, is that right? What stops it from going beyond the home side of the front setback? What stops it from going to the street?
The setback.
So there's a side yard fence, and so the side yard ends where the front setback starts.
Side yard fence, okay, I see that.
Yeah, okay. I'm good with it. It solves the problem.
So you would be okay with the entire lot with a 6-foot fence around it and a house behind it?
No, your front fence couldn't be 6 foot.
Front fence cannot be 6 foot.
Envision the side of a 5,500 lot. You could have 80 feet of 6 foot fence running down that side yard.
Right, but the front fence would only be 4.
That's correct.
4 feet, it can be 6 foot at the front. By the way, the definitions are. So if you look at where it talks about the rear yard and the existing fence, or even in now the new one, right? The rear yard, side yard, and front yard are all defined in the definitions. And it references that in the...
It would only be for that 6 feet when there's an unusual property surface.
That's right. Yeah, all something right. On the side yard.
Okay.
A non-residential property.
All right.
I think Mr. Galbraith had his hand up.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you have the word side yard fence there, you really have to look at the definitions like
that's right.
Pickler said.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me, but my sense is that the side yard would be to the front of the building.
Yes.
Not all the way to the setback.
Yeah, yard side shall mean a yard across the full width of the lot extending from the sideline of the principal building on the lot to the sideline of the lot.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the will of council on this?
Make a motion we approve as presented by staff.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a comment.
Yes.
Island Women are here. I just would like the board and Island Women to know that the minor permit application for the beach mat was denied and the variance request was timely submitted. We're waiting for feedback.
Okay. That's for our handicap mat for wheelchairs.
And yes. If everything goes according to plan, the hearing will be on April 27th, I think, 26th or 27th.
Okay. Thank you.
Craig, you had a question.
Last year, the Island Men were given a day pass for parking. Could we get that this year?
Four
pink houses.
That was in the request.
Yes, it was approved.
It was approved. Okay, thank you.
Request.
The rental of the oceanfront park was approved for free, and in that is a, with all rentals, you get 6 passes. So
okay.
Okay. Finance department, Arlen?
No updates tonight.
Okay. Fire department chief?
Thank you, Council. I do have one update. I wanted to update Town Council regarding the lifeguard shack project that we've been working on. I know we've been in touch via email and through the budget process as well. John and I have been working, mostly Inspector Bassett, put together several quotes for all the parts of the project. And we now have a number that we feel fairly confident on as a final number. I know we've been back and forth with a few. Our last estimate was around $35,000 to $40,000, which would include a complete teardown and rebuild of a fully code compliant building with breakaway walls and Bright Waste Lab. After receiving several quotes for each of the parts of the construction, including the cost of engineered drawings, our final total estimate is $47,000. However, that does include a 20% contingency on materials, which is a total of,
$5,200.
That's correct. It was 11% contingency on the entire project. We now have temporary power that was stored or set up down there beside the lifeguard shack, a problem that we encountered with all the lights on Atlantic boardwalk were tied into the lifeguard shack, so that was something we had to install temporary power, which will also be part of the overall project power. So because the amount has changed, I just wanted to make sure prior to moving forward that we do have council consensus, kind of a nod of approval to hit the ground running tomorrow. If we can do it tomorrow, I believe, Inspector Batson and I believe that we can complete it probably, well, hopefully, before the lifeguard season, as well as 1 month.
So you're asking for 2,000 more? It was 45, I think it went to 47.
I believe so, yeah. Like, yeah. I said, this can...
And the 11%, the 11% is, what, $4,400 or something like that, so I don't have a problem with it.
No. And we're well, hopefully that. The contingency isn't used, but yeah. The way materials are, go fast.
And who knows what else cropped up. So.
Yeah.
I already put together, if you're going to approve a budget amendment, that'll cover...
To cover that?
That money coming out of RRT? Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. You're outstanding.
Okay, TDA funds. Okay. Got it.
I think it's money well spent, knowing that we're going to get the four-wheeler off the street. You've got it where you're going to have it secured good enough and all that good stuff. Yep. But.
So, that. Do I have a motion for the increase?
Make a motion we approve a budget amendment 22-08 per the fire chief's request.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, Ed.
Can I just make one thing real quick?
Yeah.
What we're planning on doing is, you know, Ed and I are basically acting as a contractor for the town to sort this out in this whole construction project.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you got it clear about that and we're okay.
Yep.
We're okay with that.
You need a bar hammer or anything?
Do you have to get someone else to sign off now because we're putting you in that position, or is Ed actually the guy and so you can sign off the camera and all the other stuff?
So Carolina Beach is actually reviewing the plans. He's going to sign my permit and do my inspections for me.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Just want to make sure you're good.
Yep.
Okay. Police Department.
Nothing, sir.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Public Works Department. Jimmy?
Outside the normal report, if anything, y'all got any questions that I can answer?
Can you just update us on the project right out here?
Yeah, right, yeah. Last week, Civil Solutions came in and finished up the last 30 foot of liner, so the integrity of the pipe I'm really pleased with right now. I think that was a really good investment. I think it's going to go a long ways. There was one more thing. I will be getting them back to go back through some of the town around the pond and stuff and have them camera some of the pipes that lead into the town's stormwater. So other than that, I mean, no more leaks this week, guys.
So, Arlen, when we get the final invoice, we need to go through that and send the sub-invoice to Beachwalk on the work that's their portion, right? So once that clears and we finalize the project, then we got to do the calculation and send that an invoice to them.
Yeah.
Get the town paid back for the portion that we did for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they need to sign off on the entry as well, so you just need to make sure Jim Craig and them are ready for that so they'll pay the town. Good job.
Yeah. I talked to the HOA president today for Beachwalk. Said they were very happy with the project. So, and Jimmy, just want to go on record. Fantastic job by you guys getting the town back in order after the big break. 24-hour shift is more than I want to work. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, John.
One other thing, the hot button issue about this lifeguard shack. We're going to be utilizing probably around 5 parking spaces right there. And so.
For how long?
As long as construction's happening, because we're going to have a dumpster out there, and then we're going to need material storage. Hopefully have a space or two left for our subcontractors to be parking down there while they're doing that work.
Okay.
Are you guys okay with that?
Yes.
Well, otherwise you're going to have to walk a long way carrying the wood.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a complaint sooner or later from probably some of the business owners.
You know what? We'll get it done as soon as we can.
I don't really know what else to do.
Are you going to mark the spaces?
They're going to have to be marked off and roped off.
Yep.
Yes.
Even the ones your contractors are parking in?
Yeah, I'm just moving cranes every day is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yep.
All right, thank you.
Okay, John.
Thanks for the heads up on that, too.
Recreation Department.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We have one quick item this evening. The town attorney has eloquently drafted a celebration proclamation that would proclaim April of 2022 as the month in which to honor Kira Beach and celebrate the town's 75th anniversary through appropriate ceremonies, programs, and events. And we would like council to consider adopting that proclamation. And then we would push it out to the public on April 5th, which is the day of our anniversary.
I thought it was a good piece of work by our attorney, so will of council.
I'll make a motion that we approve the celebration proclamation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right.
Thank you.
Is that it, Nikki?
That was all I have.
Okay. Long wait for that little thing there. There you go. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. We move now into old business, of which there is none. We took care of all the old business, which means we now move into new business. And the new business this evening is selecting a new town commissioner. We had originally 6 candidates who had responded. I know that 3 candidates are in the room. Is Brad Moody in the room? Is Edward Pomeroy in the room? Is Tim Hillbrook in the room? Well, we have 3 candidates. And the candidates, if you would just stand up briefly, because I want to make a couple comments before we get started. Connie Merkel. Thank you, Connie. Dennis Panicali. Thank you, Dennis. Craig Galbraith. Thank you. Thank you. Have a seat. Ladies and gentlemen of Kira Beach, we have before us an incredible group of individuals, any one of which would be a good add to this council. We have a vice president for Martin Marietta in finance in Connie with an MBA. We have a PhD and MBA in Craig Galbraith, and a works in the school teaching, University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And we have Mr. Panicali, who's a PhD in biomedical technologies, cell and biomedical technologies. He has been the CEO of Therion. I've been the CEO of Therion and has directed research in vaccines. So we have 3 incredible people that we have to make a choice of this evening. We're going to ask them a couple questions, if we have some questions for them, but they're all quite capable, and they have all worked for the town. So does anybody have any question for Connie?
We'll go get them to make a statement or anything.
Well, we'll ask them to make a statement. Well, okay, we can do that first, true. Okay. Connie, would you like to make a statement? Over at the...
Okay.
Yes, please.
Tell me to be prepared to speak.
Be prepared for anything.
Yeah.
So this may be more for the people that are here, because I know that you went through my application. But good evening, Mayor and Council members. I'm Connie Markle. I've been a full-time resident of Curry Beach for 11 years along with my husband, Tony Kowalski. We discovered Curry Beach about 16 years, like a lot of you, and we fell in love with that small town vibe and how special this town is and how unique it is. And we love it just as much now as we did 16 years ago. And I would say that my background is accounting and finance, and my career reflects that. My last position, as Craig said, I was the Vice President of Global Treasury at Lockheed Martin before I took early retirement. And before that, I had similar financial executive positions at Merck and at CSX. I've had a lot of nonprofit experience along with my financial career. I've been on the board of two HOAs where I was the treasurer. I was the treasurer of a board on a daycare center, which was pretty interesting. I currently serve on the board of the HOA in Curry Dunes. And I've been in that position for about 5 years. As you pointed out, Craig, I've been involved in the town. Until recently, I was on the Board of Adjustment for 3 years, and I just recently gave up that position in order to stay on the Stormwater Committee, which I've been on since its inception. And I would say that being on the Stormwater Committee was really a good experience for me because I gained a lot of knowledge and was made more aware of how important it is for infrastructure, not only for maintaining it, whether it's, you know, the stormwater pipes, but also planning for the future. And, you know, in addition to infrastructure, you know, when I think about what's important to me, and this is just you know, as a person in the community, I think of infrastructure, I think of beach renourishment and beach protection and the relationship that we have to have with, you know, the federal and the state agencies to make sure that we have the beach renourishment continue on into the future. Because without it, it's going to be tough to, you know, to have thriving businesses and the tourists that, you know, come to this beautiful town. And it's important for the residents to maintain their property values. And that takes me to something else that is always important to us, which is property taxes. We want them to be reasonable, but we also want the highest quality of service, whether it's from our police, our firemen, or public works. It's all important to us. And, you know, when you pay your property taxes, a little over a third comes back here to Curry Beach. And we want to make sure that we get the best bang for the buck and we're being fiscally responsible in the way that we spend it. Because it's your money, it's your property taxes. And then, I think what's really important is listening to the community members. And as Craig and the council members have pointed out, you know, it's your community, and we always want to know what's important. What are you thinking about? And whether it's, you know, through a committee that you find out that people want green space, people want, you know, it to maintain it as a small town, or they want bike paths. And, you know, it's the responsibility for the town to look at that and see, is it viable? And you have to balance out between what the citizens want, the residents, the businesses, and then, you know, kind of those guardrails about what's really best for the town overall as you look out into the future. And when I think of myself being on the town council, what do I have to bring? Different perspective, being a finance person. And I think also I bring energy, passion, and, you know, I'm a good listener. I also have the time. I took early retirement and I'm retired, so I have the time to devote to being an effective council member, and I think I can make a valuable contribution to the council. So I would consider it a privilege to be on the council, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Galbraith, would you like to make a statement?
Thank you. Just a little bit of a background, again, I think more for the audience. I've lived in Curry Beach now since 1995, so that's a, you know, well over 20 years. I've really kind of lived a dual life, I think. About half my time has been spent in academics, so you know, I have a PhD in economics and management, an MBA, but I also have a graduate degree in biology. And so the other half of my life has been in startup businesses. So I've been the CEO of several startup businesses, biotech companies, and so forth. My background really is, from a public point of view,
I have served on the Planning and Zoning Commission now for 14 years. The majority of the time has been as chairman. Also serve as chairperson of the Historic Preservation Commission, now as chairperson of the Land Use Committee, and in the past 14 years served on a number of other ad hoc committees. We actually did have a committee in economic development at one time and some other ones too, so I've served on all these various committees. So I've been fairly active. As you know, I've probably attended well over 100 council meetings in 14 years, and I tend to stay for the whole council meeting and not just for what I have to present. My background in public sector really is in planning and zoning. That's where I spent a lot of time on, sort of the land use and economic development. In California, I was an economic development person there. In Indiana, I was economic development and planning and zoning. And again, I've been here for about 14 years serving the town on planning and zoning. My professional background, as you probably got a sense of, is really in economics and in finance, again, as the chief executive officer in one startup company and then chief financial officer in two other companies. And I tend to specialize in entrepreneurship. That's what I teach. I teach economics and both entrepreneurship. I've also taught public finance at UNCW. I currently teach finance also at the Cameron School of Business. And these are all very important things. When you look at, I think, what the future of Curie Beach is, I think we're almost built out now. I'm pleased to say that I think we've done an excellent job, the council has done an excellent job in preserving the small family feel for this particular community. I think we have an excellent staff that supports that. I think that our planning and zoning aspects and our ordinances are in very good shape to maintain that sort of thing. But I do think there are some major issues that we're going to have to deal with in the future. Probably infrastructure would be number one. You know, talk about stormwater, talk about street maintenance, these sort of things. These are very important issues. I think we're also kind of moving into an era where we have to start thinking about more sustainability and green type of things. So, you know, one of the things that I would certainly like to see is more of an effort to kind of think about electric vehicle charging, about solar panels, green spaces, and these sort of things, because this is not only important, I think, for a number of reasons, but also it signals to the community what we're about and can also benefit in terms of drawing visitors here and drawing residents here and these sort of things. So that becomes a very important issue. The other thing, too, is I think we need to look at some kind of look scenarios about what the future is. You know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, the issues related to beach renourishment, whether that's going to continue in the long run. I think as an economist, we know that we're kind of on the verge of what's called stagflation right now. We haven't had this since the 1970s, and it was kind of devastating to the United States and to a number of communities. It's an unusual situation where you have low economic growth and high inflation, and that certainly is going to have an impact. So I think, you know, looking strategically at a number of these types of issues becomes very, very important, and something that we're looking at land use plans strategically right now in terms of the land use plan process, but I think we need to look at some other things in terms of finance, in terms of you know, infrastructure, some of these sort of issues. And these are the sort of things that I might be able to bring to the council. So I do appreciate the opportunity to serve the community. I think I've certainly expended a lot of time and effort in the last 14 years in doing this, and certainly hope that we can continue in this type of process. So again, thank you.
Mr. Galbraith. I mean, Mr. Panicali. Mr. Panicali.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councilman. I'm honored to be considered for a position here. I have been a resident here now since 2011, so we're 11 years in as full-time residents. We moved here as a part-time resident in 2004, so we've been on the island for quite a bit of time. I have been chairman of the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee for about 6 years now, after the Emily Swearingen incident about 6 years ago. But it has been an honor to serve on that committee, to see our town mature over the last 15 or so years. I am very, very pleased at the way the council has all of the council members that have operated and maintain the small town atmosphere that we have here. What can I contribute? My background is in science. I'm a scientist, PhD in molecular biology, but I moved from pure science, basic research, into applied technologies, and then founded a biotech company in the Cambridge, Massachusetts area. I ran that for about a dozen years, grew that company up to the point where we had many products, both for infectious disease and for cancer therapy, in clinical trials. After that, I continued to consult in the area and retired about 6 years ago now. So also have time on my hands that I would like to utilize in a productive way for our community. I think that our major issue going forward, and I think it's for the world at large, is climate change. We are particularly susceptible here as a beach community in North Carolina. If we just look at our hurricanes the last few years, it's been we've been lucky, quite frankly, but it's going to be very important that we understand the importance of maintaining our infrastructure, improving our infrastructure, and looking to the future to see how we can adapt to this climate change. Oceans will be rising. Our beach needs to be re-nourished periodically, as it has been, and I think that we have to maintain the structure of this community in a way that looks to the future for those types of serious effects that we are undoubtedly looking for, looking to see in the future. I have, as Craig has, been working with the town for a number of years. It's been a great experience working with all of the members, police department, fire department, recreation department, and town council. I couldn't imagine a better community to live in. I plan on spending the rest of my life here, and I would be honored to serve on the council. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the lady and the gentleman have given us quite detailed information relative to what they thought the needs were of the community, what they thought were parts to work on. They gave us some resumes, which are more impressive than mine. And so do you have any question for any of these individuals?
I do.
Go ahead.
I do not.
Oh, you do not. I do. Kerry Beach is a little bit on the unique side of municipalities across the state. We don't have a town manager, you know, we have a town clerk. So just want everybody to know that, you know, make sure you're okay with the fact that you'll have to supervise, or you will have departments that you will be the liaison to, which will mean personnel evaluations and working hand in hand. You know, it can be more work at times than others, like last weekend when David and Public Works, I'm sure he and Jimmy had several conversations when have it, or if Nikki is planning events, I might have more events there. Or if the police have issues, or John's with Public Works, with P&Z or and building inspection. So it gives us all the, we have our hands in more into the business than what a normal town council would do. So I think it's not so much a question to you as just a statement to you that this will be a role that we have to take very seriously, and make sure y'all understood that. I didn't think our questions necessarily addressed that at all times, but any questions to us or concerns about that y'all might have? Any? Okay.
Any questions?
No. I don't have any questions.
Sir. Okay. I don't have any questions either. So I've been thinking about this since Mandy gave me these resumes. Looking at these resumes, thinking, how do you decide between these fantastic individuals? How do you come up with a decision? Well, forgive the sports analogy, because I decided that I have to be selfish for the people in the town. and I have to be like a coach. And from a coach's perspective, it means I have to put the best team on the field. That means the pitcher, the catcher, the right fielder, the left fielder. It means it's more than counsel. So I'm going to make a motion here shortly, but I want to say that to the two of you who may be disappointed in whatever this is, and by the way, just because I make the motion doesn't mean it's going to fly. Somebody, it may not pass, but what I want to tell you is that we have to make this choice today. We do, the council does. Actually, the mayor could, but I don't want to do that. This should be a participative thing. That's why we're doing everything in public. And
can I say something?
Yes, you may.
Commissioner Allen and I were sitting in the same seats y'all were sitting in, what, six years ago. And we didn't get selected. The council picked a person that was the best for the job at that time. And it gave us the insight to continue to work with the town and run the next time there was an election. And we've worked, and our team has worked together very well. And a lot of it started that night. So I agree with everything the mayor has said about putting a team together. So, yeah.
So I encourage you to run. If you're not picked this evening, in 18 months, the people will decide who should sit up here. And there will be openings in the next election. Therefore, I am going to be selfish. I'm going to pick a candidate who has the time, the background, and the experience with across quite a few of the departments. And I'm going to nominate Dennis Panicali for town commissioner.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Therefore, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Connie and Craig. Craig, I need you in planning and zoning. You have been the setting up our mixed-use area, setting up all the things we've set up in planning and zoning. Right, our downtown historic and everything. We're almost finished with that. I expect you to run for the seat next time. Connie, we could use a female perspective on this council. Too much testosterone up here. So I would expect you to run for the next and let the people decide and not the guys up here who, for selfish reasons, have to put the best team on the field. So we would have had a great team with either one of you. I want you to know that. This was not an easy decision on my part. And I assume on their part either. So don't give up, please. Yeah, he wasn't selected and neither was John. And here they are today. Elected more than once. So.
Well, and to add to that, I wasn't elected the first time I ran either.
Actually, that's right. That's right. So
there you go.
I guess I'm the anomaly to that. But in any case, so Mr. Panicali and Sandy, would you please step forward for to be sworn in? Mandy, would you swear them in, please? And Sandy, maybe you would like to hold the Bible for him.
Okay, ready?
I am ready.
I, Dennis Panicali.
I, Dennis Panicali.
Do solemnly swear that I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
And
and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of my office as Commissioner for the Town of Cary Beach.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of my office as Commissioner for the Town of Cary Beach.
Congratulations.
You're on my fast
dial list. All right.
Dennis? Please take your seat up here. Connie, there's going to be an opening for beach chair. And I know you live on the beach. So be selfish. Congratulations, Dennis.
Very much. Yeah, sure.
Okay, the next item is, gentlemen, I would like to reschedule the April town meeting. I will be, frankly, on summer vacation with my grandchildren. So I would like to move that either to the 11th, but I think that's a little early.
Yeah, and I've got a conflict.
Then I would look at the following Monday, which I believe is the
25th.
I'll make a motion to move the April town council to April 25th.
Okay.
6:00.
Is that going to mess up anything that you need approved?
That's going to mess up your stormwater committee.
Well, that's fine, but I was asking more about, isn't there something y'all need approved at the April 18th meeting? I can't remember what the timing was. Jim, was that?
Does that work for you, Jim?
It's good for me that day.
Okay.
I was just thinking something was supposed to come on the April 18th, but it may not be time sensitive. Okay. I'm fine.
Okay. So we have a motion.
We did previously from two meetings, or the last meeting in February, agreed to have an emergency meeting on the 18th.
We said the next.
We said the next
scheduled council meeting, so it'll move with it. Yep.
Okay. So I have a motion to move both meetings, John.
Yes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now there was a question about rescheduling the May meeting.
That's due to the election here at Town Hall. The equipment will be in the room, and no one else will be able to.
Oh, that's right. Primary
is on
the. Yeah.
The primary is on the
17th. Primary is on the 17th. So we would have to move that probably to the week after.
I'm fine with that. Either day is fine.
Okay. What would that date be?
23rd.
The 23rd. Do I have a motion for the 23rd of May?
Yeah, I make a motion we move the May 16th town council meeting to May 23rd.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 That's also going to be under stormwater, May.
I'm sure.
Okay, and finally, the text amendment procedure.
Yes.
Counselor.
Did you skip something?
Yeah,
10.5.
Did I skip 10.5? Oh, yeah, excuse me. Something very important to the citizens, too. Free yard waste pickup.
Mr. Mayor, I did get a request from a couple of citizens. Were we going to do it, and have we considered it? And so I asked to put it on the agenda. I think Jimmy might have some comments about what we did 2 years ago about allowing homeowners one free pickup for just yard waste only. No household waste, no furniture, any of that stuff. And then they will, Jimmy, you correct me if I'm wrong, your staff will record, say for example, I call in and I give them my address, they're going to check that address off the list, and that's the only pickup you get from that address.
That's right.
And it was during a specific month.
Yeah, and we can set.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It was between April 13th and the 24th.
April when?
13th through the 24th.
Okay.
So just before we vote on this, as I do every time, I'd just like to point out that I'm not in favor of this. So I'll vote against it, but I've tried to kill this the entire time I've been in public works. where basically we have a process for people that use a service to pay for it, and we're letting all their neighbors pay for it by doing this, because some people take advantage of it and some people don't. I'm fine that I get overruled, but I just wanted to continue to say that I'm not in favor of this.
Well, and I'm not advocating for it. I just told the citizen that brought it to my attention that we would discuss it and we would see. I mean, Jimmy, it adds a tremendous amount of work to Public Works, and it's at a cost. I mean, my yard's been cleaned up, and they picked it up, and I paid for my loads already this year. So I'm not advocating either other way. But
well, then I'll make a motion we don't do it, if that's the case.
Okay, so there's a motion. Do I have a second on that motion?
I'll second.
You're going to second the motion for no yard waste?
No, no.
Okay, that means we're going to have to vote, gentlemen. So any comments? I mean, the cost is reasonable. It is just yard waste. We don't pick up other things anymore. Therefore, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That's okay. Okay, nay. Okay, the ayes have it.
Well, where was Alan?
I said aye. I voted for it.
Okay.
He voted for it. So, Jimmy, there'll be no pickup this year, no free pickup. It's just going to be same as it is.
Thursday afternoon pickup.
Thursday afternoon, Thursday morning,
Jimmy,
Thursday
afternoon. Let's send something out about bagging it up in the brown bags or however y'all want it picked, you know, put out on the street and that type thing.
Yeah, it's normally brown bags, plastic bags with the recycling place on the table.
Yeah, so we might want to send an email out on that process.
But tell them, is that the standard cost for the fee structure of the town and your communication?
Yes, sir.
It's not paid for by their neighbors. Thank you.
Okay. Now.
I appreciate
Counselor.
You being up here.
Talk about both things.
Handling the last item of business. Last time I spoke to you about text amendments in general, I emphasized two things. I felt that PZC should have an expanded role. More to the point, I felt that the code should provide a procedure in clear black and white language of how to go about amending the code for amendments that do not constitute development regulations like zoning and subdivision. You recall the code by statute provides a procedure for amending development regulations, but we don't have any procedure in the code for amending non-development regulations. That's point one. Point two is that when I went back and looked at the code in detail regarding whether to expand PZC's role, I actually found that practically all the chapters besides zoning were not appropriate for PZC to get involved in, except for one, and that's subdivision regulations. The code presently allows for subdivision regulations to possibly be referred to PZC. And I'm proposing with the text amendment that's on the screen to go ahead and have PZC review text amendments as part of the typical procedure for amending the subdivision. Again, PZC's recommendations are non-binding. So presently, PZC reviews and comments on zoning regulations by statute, which is reflected in the code. Presently, the code also allows PZC to refer to review and comment on subdivision regulations if council refers them to them. I'm proposing that we go ahead and allow PZC to review those regardless of whether they're referred. I think that's an appropriate area for PZC to be involved. Manny, you go to that second page. Now, what I've done here, this is the proposed amendment for setting up a procedure for amending the code for provisions that are not development regulations. The practice is, the code presently doesn't prescribe a procedure, and the practice is that it comes to council one way or another. There are no legislative hearings because they're not development regulations, and council passes on them. But there have been occasions where the lack of a procedure can be confused. confusing. For example, the fencing amendment came into BZC, although technically I don't believe that was a development regulation, but it ended up being appropriate that BZC looked at that. There are probably a number of other instances where a department head such as Mandy or Jimmy could look at a proposed text amendment and say, you know, I think BZC ought to weigh in on this. So what I've done is, number one, establish a clear procedure, it's up on the screen in front of you right now, for amending non-development regulations. In that procedure, I've allowed for either council or a department head to refer the proposed amendment to BZC, because that's what's happening anyway. Let's go ahead and codify that. Mm-hmm. And finally, I've also allowed for a legislative hearing if you all want it, again, outside of zoning and subdivision and other development regulations. It's not required, but there are times when it's a red button enough of an issue to go ahead and get some feedback from the public. So those are my recommendations, setting up a procedure for amending the code and also expanding BZC to look at subdivision regs in addition to zoning. And again, anytime it goes to BZC, they review and comment. Those comments are non-binding, but it can be very useful for you all. Any questions?
So I see you show in green revisions. So this went to P&Z. So Craig, your team's looked at this?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. And you agree with it? What he proposed, or?
Yeah, the vote of the P&Z was to recommend it. I'm not sure if it was unanimous, but it was.
Okay.
It certainly was a vote.
But your team looked at it, and yes, you feel that it's the right way to go. Okay. And the department heads looked at it with you?
Yeah, Mayor? this is what came out of
came out of the department.
Came out of the department.
I just want to make sure I understood.
Yeah.
No further questions.
Okay.
Okay. So, do we have a motion on this?
Yeah, I make a motion. We make the changes proposed by the attorney to the, I guess, 1.04.070.
Sorry.
And 14.04.030.
There you go.
Okay. I had to get to the other page.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. Okay, there are no further mayor updates. I think we covered plenty. Commissioners, Commissioner Ellen, any updates?
I have one. Just before we went into session, the North Carolina State women's basketball team beat Kansas State 89-50.
Yeah, but
wow.
That doesn't compare to you.
There goes my there goes my bracket.
Jim, you and Jimmy need to hang out more. They'll be talking about Carolina.
No.
That's
nothing.
Okay. David?
No, one congratulations to Dennis. Also Connie and Craig. Please do run. It's only 18 months, it'll be fast. I can't believe how fast it goes. Been up here a pretty long time, and it's great to see some people interested in running. I'd hate to see just two people run next time, like the last two elections have been unopposed. I don't personally like that. That's how I got involved the first time, which I lost, was because only two people signed up, so I signed up as the third, and then I got drummed. I do encourage you to, because I really don't think it's good for the town to have unopposed elections. I've been pushing back against it, and it keeps happening, so I hope you do both run. Hope to see you up here.
Okay. Commissioner Panicelli, anything?
No.
Not yet, okay. All right, very good. Then we have no closed session, do we?
I don't believe so.
No, we do not. We're adjourned.
Dennis, funny to see you freely.